Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
He's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He's Mr. Bob Finan. Hello, Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hey guys, how are you today?
We are good. How are you?
I'm doing well.
You're going to watch a team that has won 10 straight games play a team that has won 15 straight games and have the two best records in the NBA tonight. How about that? And as I said earlier, Adam Silver is just cringing at the thought of a Cavalier-Thunder NBA Finals. But so what? They have the best records right now, Bob, and I can't wait to see what they do tonight.
I'm right there with you on that. And, you know, they're looking at this as being a big test for them. But, you know, they've met every challenge so far this season. This just completed West Coast trip, I was thinking, well, if they go 2-2, I think that'd be pretty good. You know, of course, they just blow through all four games. And their biggest attribute, I believe, is their depth. Teams just don't have those kind of quality players coming off the bench. And they're close to being completely healthy as well, because Okoro and Sam Merrill are both pretty close.
Bob, I asked this the other day. I'm trying to remember who I was talking to. Is this team one of the most fun teams you've had covering? I mean, Bob, there's not a lot of drama about this team. They go out, they play basketball, they play good basketball, they play basketball that's easy to watch and have fun as a fan. I mean, what is it like for a guy that's been on this beat for a couple of years now?
A couple of decades now.
I know. I was trying to be nice. People don't realize Bob.
We want the experience.
Well, Bob's only 20.
That's why Bob's the man.
He's truly only 24 years old as far as we're concerned. Well, how much fun is this?
It's been a lot of fun. I thought they were going to be very good this year. But, I mean, you know, I never thought anywhere close to this. And, you know, I covered them. The team all through the LeBron years, and that was a lot of fun as well. A little different, but this is a more balanced team. I think it's a little better team, and I'm starting to believe this team is capable of winning a title.
Evan Mobley's development has been, I think, more eyesight than stats, Bob, and he looks like a more confident player. He's doing some things that make him look like a guy who's really maturing. His stats are up, but they're not up significantly. What have you thought of his development this year, and where are you seeing it most?
I'll tell you what, it's been fun to watch. And, you know, he's extended his game out to the three-point line, and he's taking three-pointers with confidence. He's up to like 4, 5, 6 a game now. And, of course, Atkinson wants him to shoot more. Kenny really loves a three-point shot. And but Evan is just – his game has just matured all across the board, and offensively, defensively. And he's just really – it's really been fun to watch. Back a couple years ago when he would take a three-pointer, I would kind of like cringe. No, don't. And now you want them to shoot that. You know, the last time I checked, they had, I think, 4 players shooting 40% or better from the three-point line, which is just nuts. That's craziness. And this pretty darn good team. And another player, Jared Allen, he just doesn't get the notoriety, I guess, that he should, because his numbers aren't like off the board, but he's a very key player for this club.
Bob, Kenny was talking the other day about just they're an experienced team, because I think people are like, I think the big national question is, okay, look, they're good during the regular season. Let's see how long this can last during an 82 game schedule. And then we're really going to see what they're like when they've got to play the same team 4 nights, you know, four times in a row. But he talked about them just being battle tested from the playoffs, even just last year. Your thoughts on that? And do you believe that? And then, you know, what do they need to be that team that can, you know, get there? Like you said, you believe now that they can be a team that can go all the way through this thing. What are they missing? What do they have to get to figure it out?
Well, I don't know if they're missing anything. Yeah. I wish they had another big, maybe to come off the bench, but to tinker with this team right now or make any kind of a trade would be asinine, I think. You just wouldn't want to mess with what they've got going. They've had, you know, you read about camaraderie and all that, but it truly is. That's what's going on here. And there's the egos. They don't have big egos. Someone like Donovan Mitchell could have a big ego. He really doesn't. He's just a regular guy. He just wants to fit in with the rest of them. And I think this team has what it takes to get it done. Now, they're going to face some really tough challenges in the postseason with Boston, even Philly. New York is getting it together. It's not going to be easy, but I think they have the potential now to come out of the East.
Bob, that takes me to exactly what I was just going to ask. And Bob Finan joining us. He covers the Cavaliers for the Chronicle-Telegram, the Medina Gazette. You said earlier they've answered every test that they've had this year. Is there any test they really have to answer the rest of the regular season until the playoffs? Because they've looked so good. They've done things so well. I don't know that there's anything left to do in the regular season. You'd love to get the number one seed, but I don't think there's a real test until you get to the postseason.
Well, there probably isn't. And, you know, I think they're on pace now to win 72, 73 games. Mm. I mean, that's a little crazy in itself. But what's important is getting to the playoffs and having success in the playoffs. That's, you know, not regular season wins. That's not, I mean, I'm not saying that's not important, but doing it in the postseason is what's important. And that's what they're all pointing to, you know, getting in the playoffs and doing some damage there.
Can you tell me more about Kenny Atkinson? Because I think we're learning more about him each and every day. And it just seems too simple to think that this team, all they needed was a coach in the past. What? Why? Yeah. What is this impact that he's had? Or is he just let the guys be the guys?
Well, he does let them be themselves, but he's pretty analytically driven. He says he's not, but he really is. And he's getting a lot out of these players. He knows how to deal with them, and you know, I like the fact when they play pickleball and stuff like that, just to break the monotony. And these guys really want to run through a brick wall for him. And there's just a little bit, it's more in-depth coaching, I think, than we had in the past. And I was a big Bickerstaff fan, really nice fella, but they've really upgraded here, and it's really made a difference.
Bob Finan joining us from the Chronicle-Telegram, Medina Gazette. Darius Garland has looked like the guy that he was 2 years ago after dealing with all the health issues last year, Bob. What has he done that's impressed you most this year?
Well, he's just so efficient as a player. And Kenny likes to talk about he doesn't want him to give up his dribble too soon, that he wants him to probe the offense, kind of like a la Steve Nash. And that's one of the things he does very well now. And he's just shooting. His shooting is up across the board. And last year, he was kind of hard to watch at times. People were sure that he was going to be traded in this past off season. And, you know, Kobe Altman stood pat with this whole team, which I thought was kind of odd. And it's turned out to be a stroke of genius. He's kept this group together, the core four, and really didn't add a whole lot to what was already here. And they've just come back so strong.
Oklahoma City, Cavaliers, big winning streaks. Who do you like tonight?
Well, you got to like Cleveland at home. They're 18-1. Yesterday at practice, they were kind of trying to downplay it. It's just another game, bull. You know, they know the score. They know what's, you know, they have the national media here. It's going to be nationally televised on ESPN. And I think they'll get up for it. Now, Oklahoma City is really something. And one of the things that's been impressive, of course, Alexander's a pretty darn good player, but Hartenstein, their center, who played here in
Jeff loves him. Loves him.
Oh, God, he's just been playing off the charts. He's averaging 12.2 rebounds, and he's been really good. And my God, if they get Chet Holmgren back, I don't know. I mean, they could be be the class of the West, which they probably are anyhow. But yeah, I think Cleveland can win tonight. But I think it's going to be a really good game.
You want to read great coverage of the game? Go read Bob Fanan in the Chronicle Telegram, the Medina Gazette. Bob, thank you, buddy.
Thanks,
appreciate
Bob.
Your time.
All right. Thanks for having me on, guys.
You got it. Bob Fanan joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Well, when we hear the Miami fight song, it means we have to go. It's in the rules here. Have to go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Because after the fight song, we hear this voice from the NFL Network, our buddy, Cleveland guy, Chris Rose. Chris, welcome. First of all, we know there's a lot of stuff going on where you are in Southern California. Are you and your family okay?
Yeah, I mean, we're all right. We're packed up and just ready to go if something happens. And there was a fire that popped up this morning about a mile from where we are. And we think there's been mixed reports, but we think that it's been contained. But yeah, what you've seen on the screen really can't even do justice for the devastation that's happened out here in a lot of, you know, older, long-standing communities. It's just, it's tragic what's happening. Really, really is kind of ripped the soul of the city apart. So we're just trying to do the best we can out here.
Wow, the winds, I just saw the LA Times, 100 miles an hour? Is that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, this is a storm that hasn't happened in over a decade out here. And that's been the biggest problem is that usually they can attack these things from the sky, right? They get these planes and choppers that can scoop and, you know, put the water on there, but that's not what's happening. Just because the winds were so severe, they weren't able to do it overnight. We're hopeful that in the next couple hours that the winds will subside to the point where it'll make those planes and helicopters effective. So that's kind of what we're all waiting on.
All right. Well, our
stay
thoughts
safe.
Are with you.
Yes.
Yeah. Hang in.
Thank you.
And stay safe. Before we get to your conversation with Shane Bieber, which I'm really intrigued in hearing about, Andrew Berry spoke to the media the other day, mentioned a new injury, tweaked injury, whatever. He was vague, didn't have a lot of details about Deshaun Watson. When you heard that news, your reaction was what?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know how much I expect him to be a part of the future. I know he has to probably be on the roster next season, just if you follow the financial chain of this whole thing. I expect somebody different to be the quarterback that's not currently on the roster next year. And that's that. I didn't have as much of a reaction as I probably should have, if that makes sense.
It makes complete sense. Yeah, and I thought the same thing, because I don't know that any of us were thinking he was going to be the guy next year anyway, even just injury-wise. Let alone play-wise. So it's intriguing moving forward just because there are so many options available to them. You know, draft pick, free agent veteran, free agent young guy, a lot of different things they can do. They just got to, you know, they better nail it, Chris, right? You're in the position where you can't miss now.
Well, I'm not going to agree with that necessarily.
All right, why?
I think it'd be because, you know, people think that because we're picking second that we have to go with a quarterback.
Oh, no, that's not what I meant. What I meant was you better nail whoever's playing quarterback next year.
Yeah, but the odds of it happening, I think, are so... I don't think there is... Like, Sam Darnold is a... How often does that happen where you get a guy that totally turns around his career from virtually just quarterback vagabond who was going to pounce from team to team as a backup to what he has become for the Minnesota Vikings? And you can't put Baker in that. I mean, Baker ran laps around him in Cleveland. All right, those guys weren't close to one another in terms of the success at this level. Darnold was a turnover machine. So how often does it happen where you pick a guy off the scrap heap and he turns into what Darnold has turned into? It just doesn't happen that often. Now, Kirk Cousins, that could be interesting because that's a guy who has been extremely successful at this level. Who knows if this year was just bad fit, poor performance, combination of the two. Does he still have anything left on the wrong side of 35? All of that. And then you throw the draft pick stuff into it. And I'm not here to... You throw a wet towel on the situation because, you know, when you pick second, you're like, man, we could get a game changer. I think we have to exhaust all options. You know, did I watch Shedeur Sanders play a lot this year? Yeah. Did I watch Cam Ward play a ton this year? No. Did I watch Drew Allard play some if he elects to come out? Yeah, and I actually thought the last couple games he looked like an NFL-type quarterback. So I've done a little digging, and I can only tell you this, that one of the guys I really trust at our network, who real extensively covers the draft, my question was, my Cleveland people are worried there aren't two good quarterbacks in this draft. He goes, I haven't studied the quarterbacks as closely as I will, but I've watched all of them enough to know that Sanders is absolutely not the guy, and I wouldn't touch Beck or Quinn Ewers. I need to watch Ward. I doubt Drew Allard comes out. If he does, he might be the guy. So what he's saying is that there's not necessarily two good quarterbacks here.
And not necessarily one, if he hasn't looked at Cam Ward that much yet, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, has he watched him? Yes. Has he studied the all 22s? Of every throw he's made over the last two years? No. That's how in-depth this guy does. He's going to study everything. So at first blush, that's his reaction. And what that means is that I think the Browns have to consider getting a quarterback desperate team, a la the Las Vegas Raiders, to bite on something where we can still get a very, very good player and get future draft compensation. I know it's not what everybody wants to hear, but I think it's something that we have to consider. Taking a quarterback at two doesn't automatically turn things around. It just doesn't.
So, you had a chance to talk with a gentleman named Bieber. Not Justin, yeah. But Shane.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad he's back. Is he glad he's back? And how's he feeling?
Yeah, I think he's very glad he's back. So let's start with that. It's out on the Rose Rotation. You can check it out. You know, just go to Chris Rose Sports and there's links there. Also our John Boy Media Baseball YouTube page. If you just want to sit down and watch the whole thing. You know, it doesn't surprise me. Like, I think part of this is that he felt comfortable with the team, comfortable with the training staff, comfortable with the expectations, comfortable with the fact that if he doesn't rebound the way he wants, he's going to get a second year out of this. You don't want to have to introduce yourself to a new staff, new training regime, the whole bit while you're trying to come back from surgery. I think that's just the recipe for disaster. So the fact that he came back, I thought was great for both sides of this. One thing we did talk about was when he knew he was shot. Like when he knew that his arm wasn't working. So I think we've got the clip where he talks about kind of taking us down that road.
Yeah, I did. Unfortunately, I knew the feeling. Whatever it was, I don't know, probably a multitude of factors, whether it was just opening day, adrenaline, cold weather, dry in Oakland, night game, you know, and whatever it may have been. I ultimately just chalk it up to I had a failing ligament, and I knew the feeling, and I had already addressed it via rehab. And so if my intuition was correct, probably around the fifth inning in Oakland, I knew that I would have to address it surgically, but I was in denial. I was in denial for a week plus, and you know, I was hoping it was just different game intensity, soreness went throughout my week in my bullpens, and just tried to make it work. And I think in the back of my head, I was, like I said, I was in denial, but potentially knew, you know, what the inevitable outcome would be. I made my second start. I had to know for sure and see if adrenaline would mask it up and give my body a chance to kind of scar over, and ultimately kind of opened up in the same spot, had to address it surgically. And I think I knew for sure in that Seattle start, it was bothering me from warm up one to pitch 85, 83, whatever it may have been.
It's a lot of pitches to throw when there's a problem there, right?
Mm. Yeah. I mean, and if you guys remember his first two starts, he looked totally different than he did the year before.
Yeah,
he did. Totally different. And you know, he's never been a guy that's thrown 96 or 97. That's not who he is. But when he was getting back to like 94 and then good bite on his slider, all that, you're like, whoa, okay, we're somewhere. And then you wake up the day after his Seattle start and you're like, Bieber's done for the year. We're like, whoa, 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 whoa. Where'd this come from? But we talked about everything. We talked about what it was like for him to sit on the rail and watch guys try and make a run to the World Series without him. You know, how challenging that was, how close he was to actually leaving. That part was fascinating to me. You know, so we really cover a ton of stuff. We had a little surprise drive-by by one of his teammates, which was fun. It's a good 40-minute conversation that if you need a little bit of that, you know, enjoy it.
Well, his spirits right now, like where is he physically?
Great.
What do you think? Yeah, so ready for what's next, right? I mean,
yeah, he wouldn't put a definitive date on it. He said that he keeps asking the medical staff, and they won't even do that. So he's, you know, he couldn't share that because they haven't shared it with him, really. But he was out throwing. You know, we did this interview in between the Jimenez and Naylor deal, so that's why there's no talk of Naylor, because it hadn't happened at that point. So this is right before Christmas, I want to say. And he was throwing, you know, he was extended, I think he told us, to 90 feet or something like that, and making good progress. So personally, in the experience that where I've been around guys who have had surgeries like this, I would expect him the back half of the season and treat it like it's a trade.
And again, where can everybody hear it, Chris?
Well, you can go if you need to just click a link on social media at Chris Rose Sports, whether that's on X or, you know, our Instagram, or if you just want to go YouTube and type in, you know, John Boy Media Baseball, Chris Rose Rotation, whatever it is. Those are the easiest ways to get it. And like I said, it'll get you through a workout or drive from one side of the town to the other, as you're trying to contemplate what the Browns are going to do at quarterback or get you ready for the Cavs Thunder, whatever, we're here for you.
And we retweeted that at CLE Talking Heads. So
thank you.
There you go.
Thank you.
Hey, hang in there. We're thinking about you and your family. Stay safe, okay, bud?
Appreciate it, gang.
Thanks
you, Chris. So much.
There's Chris
Talk
Rose,
soon.
The Rose Rotation, the NFL Network, joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We're going over all of the guys who are going to make you go, oh. But one of them might be quarterback of the Browns next year. There it is.
Maybe a slide into,
But right, if it goes well, there it is. Yesterday, we talked about Cam Ward.
That's not even a moment.
Who was the only college quarterback not eliminated by Chris Rose's guy at the NFL Network, whoever that was.
True.
Who may or may not be a guy you should take in the draft this year.
Secret squirrel giving
so
him the info.
There you go.
Yeah.
I won't tell you who we're going to talk about, but it's going to make Dan's head explode. Coming up at 1 o'clock.
I wonder who that's going to be.
I got a thought.
One thing Chris said about in his conversation with Shane Bieber, the Rose Rotation. You can go to Chris Rose Sports and look it up. He had a 40-minute conversation with Shane Bieber. Two things that I thought in the offseason that if I were Shane Bieber, I would want to come back to Cleveland for. Other than familiarity and comfort, and, you know, and enjoying being a member of this franchise, which he always has said he has. And I thought this was the most important thing, was the stability of your situation. You're coming back from, you know, major surgery. You're hoping to get back during the season at some point. You think you will. Boy, do I want to go sign with the Angels and be surrounded by an entire training staff, an entire situation, entire coaching staff that I've never worked with before, a front office that might not necessarily have my best interests in mind, get me out on the field as quickly as possible. You know, if you're going somewhere else and you're trying to prove yourself while healing up and getting ready with people who don't know you, don't know your track record, don't know your personality, here, there's a comfort level that I think will allow him to do exactly what he needs to do without any thoughts getting into his head, Andy, about having to hurry, having to rush, having to prove himself to anybody. And I think that would be a very comforting thing here for a guy like Shane who's coming back from the major surgery, the Tommy John surgery.
Yeah, I think, you know, it was weird. We didn't expect to have him here this year, right? No one expected him to be here this season. Coming up.
Not if he were healthy.
Yeah, if it was a year ago, we'd all be like, oh, what did they get for Shane Bieber when they traded him during the season last year? Right?
I think that's exactly right.
We'd all be on that same page. So
you could make the argument that they should have traded him before the season.
I agree. Because I don't think there was any hope that he was coming back. Right? I don't think not a lot of us had this. Yeah, I don't think you're getting a hometown discount from Shane Bieber.
I think everybody thought if he's healthy, there's no way he's coming back.
Yeah, we're braced for it, right? We were braced
right,
for it.
Right.
I do think you're right, and this goes back to Indians/Guardians' general philosophy on, you know, never closing the book on a guy that you think can help your team.
Mm-hmm.
That they just don't do it.
No.
And even if you were sitting on a player that you thought was going to leave, and then all of a sudden something crazy happens, and now next thing you know, they've got to have season-ending surgery. And now you're a year removed from where you were on a guy you thought you might have to pay a lot of money to stay, probably more money than the organization was willing to give up. So now we're forced, we got to trade him. And now, a year later, I think you laid out the perfect format for him because of where he is, because that he knows everybody. He knows the trainers that are around him. He knows the wait staff and all those guys that are going to make sure that they're looking out for his best interest because he's got a relationship with them. You know, walking into another franchise right now.
They know him.
Yes.
Yep.
And they
know where he is on his recovery journey.
Better than any other team in Major League Baseball.
Yep.
And then maybe, who knows? I mean, and he's also had a firsthand look at an organization that's willing to give guys chances. And they know when to pull the cord when it's done. We've seen this for decades now. It's one of the reasons this organization is so good. Sometimes they go to the thrift shop and they end up walking out of there with, you know, stuff that people would have paid thousands of dollars for or millions of dollars in this scenario. And sometimes they walk out of the thrift shop and are like, all right, let's do three starts. And we gave it our best run and we had our best medical people on it to try to rehab somebody and put them in the right position. So
the other thing,
I think it's one of the reasons why you want to play for the Guardians, because I think they truly care about their players.
The other thing here, Chris said, the security of the player option for the second year in case the recovery next year doesn't go as he hopes.
Right.
That's a big move by the Guardians. You know?
Right. He might be giving up money, though, if it does go. You know what I'm saying?
Well, but it's his option. It's not a team option. He can bail after a year. The team's on the hook for the second year.
What's the advantage for the team to do that?
The team's advantage is this.
They get him back this year.
They made sure they got him back this year.
Yeah.
And if it all goes really, really well, he probably wouldn't be back afterwards. If it goes okay, and then they think they're going to get the best of Shane Bieber one full year after the Tommy John surgery, which is often the case, then maybe that's the situation. at the very least, it was a way to get him back here next year, see what you have, goodwill gesture. Perhaps he sticks around and picks up his option for the next year. Or is more willing to accept a contract that keeps him here a little bit longer. I think it's interesting. If you want to hear more about it, the Rose rotation.
I think it's good for both sides.
I agree completely.
I don't know that we have a lot of stories that are good for both sides. This one is one.
I agree completely. The golf world, things are cooking up.
Yeah, what was this all
about? Well, the tour is back, right? PGA Tour is back. Who was it? Hideki Matsuyama?
Yeah. They have learned how to putt, finally.
Well, and he put up the biggest... In Hawaii, that course apparently is like playing putt-putt golf, because he was about 107 under par.
Yeah, it's not super tricked up.
Yep, in winning the tournament.
At the Century, yep.
But there's more to going on in the world of golf right now than just the real PGA Tour. And Dan Menigan, by golly, who has nothing else going on in life, sits in front of the television and watches it. What did you do last night?
First, hurtful. Second... No, the TGL was last night, the TGL, it is called. It is the Indoor Golf League that was started by Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy. And they got
the Indoor Golf League.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so what it is, they got a whole bunch of PGA Tour golfers. I mean, big name guys are involved in this. Everybody that really you would want to see playing golf is a part of this thing.
Right.
So like last night, you had Xander Schauffele out there. You had Ludwig Ober out there. You had Wyndham Clark out there. You had all Matthew Fitzpatrick, major winners, big name guys playing in teams in an indoor golf thing. So it was
guys trying to suck up to Tiger and Rory.
Probably has something to do with it and cash. Okay. But so basically, they had a 50-foot golf simulator in front of them where they were hitting balls into it. And then when they got within on golf courses that were made up, by the way, with help of golf course creators and that kind of stuff, but they're really cool.
Yeah, I'm watching. I'm looking at all these virtual holes, and you're like, wow.
And so the first nine holes were team golf, and what would happen is it was alternate shots. So you would have Xander Schauffele would hit the drive.
Divorce golf? Is that what they were playing?
What?
It's called divorce golf.
Sure.
And you know why, right?
Huh?
You know why they call it.
I'm trying to explain what the hell's going on.
I'm just telling you, they're playing divorce golf. Keep going. Keep going.
So anyway, you would hit this, and when you got within 50 yards, the guys would turn around and go to the other side of the arena where there was a green set up with bunkers and rough and that kind of stuff, and they had hydraulics under the green itself so that they could move the green to match with what the course was. So the green was always changing with every single hole they were playing.
Wow.
It was cool.
Actually putting on a green.
They were actually chipping and putting onto a green.
Hmm.
But driving, hitting irons, hitting woods, that kind of stuff into a golf simulator.
What'd you think of it? Was it enjoyable to watch? I didn't see any of this. I saw it. It was on Disney last night, and I was like, what is this? The one thing I did like about it, and when I went back and read a little bit more, and I want your answer on this, is there's a team aspect to it. Like, I didn't like the team aspect on the new tour. Like, that was but the team aspect on this is kind of fun. It's like, this is like your Tuesday night beer league, or dart league, or beer league that you would play if you go to one of our, many golf simulating places around Northeast Ohio now.
So it's a little more like the Ryder Cup setup, where it was like alternate shot more than anything else. So like because the Ryder Cup, President's Cup are always a blast for that reason. And you had the head-to-heads as well going on for it. The biggest things that stood out, the pace of play is insane. I mean, they got through 15 holes in 2 hours. You know, you are flying through this thing.
Mm.
And so that's a big part of it. Is pace of play is awesome. There's perpetual action that is going on, and enough action that it kind of allows you to work out the kinks as you go. It takes a little bit to get used to. It was fun. I enjoyed it. I'm not probably going to ever seek this out and go, I must sit down and must pay attention to this. But for what else was on a Tuesday night, it was pretty good. It was enjoyable.
Riddle me this one. Think about you, me, Andy, regular guys out playing golf.
Yeah.
I grew up in the Akron area.
Right.
Most every golf course I grew up playing is no longer a golf course.
Really?
Okay. Valley View's gone. It's now a park. Brandywine going back to the park.
Yeah. I
played at Sycamore Valley, a little course down on Akron Peninsula Road. That's now apartments. Mm-hmm. So courses are disappearing, not just in Northeast Ohio, but all across the country because of the price of land and everything else. Mm-hmm. Could this become something that becomes a way that people like us end up going out and playing golf, or is the setup way too expensive and it will never become anything that the average guy will go to? And I know that, you know, we have golf facilities now where you can go and you can hit golf balls, and, you know, we know the types of facilities that are now able, you know, without being on a course. But I wonder if they take it a step further, but it looks like it would be cost prohibitive.
That's the one thing with it, would be the cost. But yes, we 100% could do this. When you watch this, you can see why Tiger Woods would be all in, because he's completely eliminating the thing that does him in, which is he could play golf, but it's the walking.
It's the walking.
And the, you know, going up and down and the different topographies of these courses that end up hurting.
But isn't this just an extension of esports? Really, that's what it is.
Yeah, you're pretty much.
You're actually swinging the golf club.
Yeah, you're still swinging the golf club, all that kind of stuff, but you're right. I mean, there is an element to it that you're watching that you feel like you're watching someone play Golden Tee. Except the difference is that you're at least hitting the golf ball still.
Interesting. All right.
Which plays into it. It's cool.
I'll seek it out next time.
Yeah, it'll be on Tuesday. Tiger, I think, is actually playing on Tuesday. So
I'm assuming you could probably watch that on Disney at any point right now, because I was watching. I'm going to go
probably
watch
true.
It.
Yeah, it's worth checking out. It's real different. It's definitely different. It takes a little bit to get used to, but give it a watch.
Up next, let's find us a quarterback. This time we're going the veteran free agent route. Who might it be? Coming up on Baskin and Phelps.